So today on Idiots Go Running, we have Nick. Say hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
On our show, we've got a guest who likes to run.
Do they really?
Do they jog around the place just for fun?
That's not fun.
Are they a special, a professional athlete?
Nope.
Lining at the start with the elite. It don't matter. We've got a guest on our show. Because we asked and they didn't say no. It don't matter. Because our show has a guest.
It does.
Pretty much because we asked and they said yes. Right, Nick. How are you?
Pretty good. Bit of an interesting morning trying to get here. It's snowing today in Belfast, so there's a bit of backwards and forwards between us as to whether we were going to do this virtually or face-to-face, and I said I'd rather come and meet the man himself, so here we are.
Yes, Nick, because I gave you so many chances to back out of today, didn't I, really? I was texting you going, Nick, it's snowing. There's been, I didn't tell you, but there was an accident on the front of our street. The snow was quite bad. A lot of people didn't go into work, and you've came to a podcast studio.
Well, I actually, I was thinking that maybe there's a problem. Maybe he doesn't want me there. You know, there's a lot of excuses to not do this. And I thought, well, you know, there was snow, but I was out running this morning and it seemed okay. So, and then I fed you a line, which seemed to change your mind. So
you did. You said to me, Nick, you said, that's okay. I'm coming over, Colin. I've ran 10 miles this morning and everything's okay. And that made me feel bad because I haven't told you this either. It made me feel bad because I spoke to my wife this morning and I'm now getting up early in the morning, Nick, doing my stretches, doing my exercises, because I'm getting a bit of an injury, or had a bit of an injury over Christmas. And I looked out this morning and I said, nah, I don't want to flare up my injury, Nick, going out in that weather. It's cold, my muscles aren't warm. And then you told me at the 10 mile and I thought, I'll have to go out now, don't I?
Yeah, I'm not saying it was 100% wise, but actually conditions today weren't too bad. I know it's snowing, but there wasn't actually that much ice around. And then I told you how you'd recognise me.
Oh, yes, the old famous line. For anyone who doesn't listen to David Goggins or know anything about David Goggins, he has a famous line. Nick, run the line.
Who's carrying the boats?
love it. You know, you don't think a boat will work in that weather. You need something a bit more like a snowplow. So if the snowplows can't get out, we know who to call. We'll give Nick a shout. But Nick, let's talk about you. You've been running for a fair wee while. I wouldn't call you an idiot at all when it comes to running. Give us a bit about your story, how you got into running, maybe what events you've done. Just a bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I've been running probably 22 years, I suppose, if I really do the maths. Just started, you know, recreational running just as a 18, 19 year old, just decided to go out for a run one day and actually enjoyed it and thought, well, I'll carry on. Then through university, I got into an athletics club near where I was in Bristol, and they started talking about triathlons and Ironmans, and I'd never heard of these things. So I thought, right, well, you know, tell me a bit more about these. And cut a long story short, I've ended up getting into Ironman racing and done 4 Ironmans. Then I decided that was, believe it or not, maybe not a big enough challenge and also very expensive. So I looked at what the next thing was and I was like, no, there's people that run 100 miles, and thought, yeah, I'll give that a go. So decided to start running ultras and got into 100 mile racing. So I've done a few of those, 2-time Lakeland 100 finisher. And then ultimately decided that was actually quite bad for me, doing a lot of 100 mile races. Ended up with a few sort of medical issues because I was over racing and over training. I'm sure maybe a few people have come across that. So took a step back from a bit. Family life, you know, had kids and things, and I took a just had to tone down my training. So the last few years I've really got into marathon running and road marathons and trying to see what sort of time I can do. And I've really been, my main focus has been on that. And I think it's a good combination of speed and endurance. So my endurance background really helps. And I think I've built up a lot of sort of resilience in my body from all that ultra endurance stuff. And now trying to turn it into speed. So even though I'm getting older, I'm actually getting faster. So that's where I am now, really, just trying to compete at marathons and half marathons, throwing the odd ultra here and there if it interests me, but I haven't done anything really long for a few years just because it really hammers your body hard. So
that's actually good advice. So if anyone's listened to the podcast, you'll know in the previous episode, me and Andrew's talking about our challenge this year. And Andrew will be loving to hear that you can overtrain, because that's one thing Andrew doesn't do, is overtrain. He is hardcore hitting the rest days like you wouldn't believe. But yeah, no, that's actually really interesting to hear, because in my head, I'm thinking I can just churn out these hundreds like they're going out of fashion. I'm completely wrong in saying that, am I, Nick?
I would say you could do it if you were really, really tuned in and dialed into your sort of metrics in your body and having blood tests, and maybe if you're a professional athlete who doesn't have anything else to do. But and there are people out there who just go and run hundreds and run hundreds and run hundreds, and they don't maybe do a lot else. But I think maybe my problem was I was trying to compete and I was training hard and racing hard, so approach with caution.
How many ultras, how many 100 milers? We'll stick to 100 miler because that's our challenge this year, and this is what I and Andrew probably need to learn. How many hundreds would you do in a year?
You can probably do two well. It's a bit like marathons. There's a reason there's a marathon season. You know, there's a spring marathon, there's an autumn marathon. You need 6 months in between. 100 milers, you could maybe argue the same. This is just my personal take on it. Obviously there's, everyone's different, but for me personally, I think it takes you a long time to recover from a 100-mile race.
Yeah. And what's the recovery time?
You go from the next day not being able to walk to, after a week, you think, I can run, and you try and run and you can maybe do a bit. You maybe feel okay in terms of running after 2, 3, 4 weeks. But actually, if you looked at your muscle damage, tissue damage, your enzyme levels, all that sort of thing, you might be surprised that your body's going through more than you realize. And there's a temptation that your mind will push you on, but your body's not ready for it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a great risk. And this is what happened to me. I kept pushing. And essentially, I became quite severely anemic. Uh-huh. It wasn't until I was trying to run 100-mile races and just being severely out of breath that even at slow pace, I could keep going, but I had no pace.
Yeah.
And that prompted some medical investigation. So from there on, I realized that there's a lot going on in your body that you aren't necessarily aware of unless you really have blood testing. And I guess this is the difference between someone like me and you. We're normal people. We're not in the lab every 5 minutes getting tests done. You've got to be quite cautious about how much you do to yourself. And I think my problem was that my brain was maybe stronger than my body. You know, my discipline and motivation was so high, I was just ignoring all these other potentially quite serious markers of what was happening on in my physiology. And that's how I ended up in trouble. But I definitely would say I would go back to 100-mile racing, but I would do it very differently.
Yeah, because I think it was, and hope I don't embarrass you, but in the North Coast, you ran it and you won it, yeah. But at one stage, myself and Andrew passed you at one stage, and that is our claim to fame. Now, granted, we were going the opposite way to you, and Andrew said, Nick's coming on the show. He goes, I gave that guy a high five. Did you give him a high five? Let's clear this up.
On the beach?
Yes.
I remember giving somebody a high five. Could well have been him.
Because I ran past you and I said, you said, keep going, guys. And I thought, flip, there you go. You know, he's the first one I've seen on your way back. And Andrew goes, yeah, give me a high five. And Andrew goes, but I was behind you, like, so I didn't see it. But in fact, we can agree that you gave him a high five.
I think we can agree. Yeah. Okay. Actually, it's one of my mental tricks is to distract myself by talking to other people, high-fiving whoever is willing, because often I'm in just a zone of pain or something. And at that particular point, I think I do know when this was. And I was in the lead, but I'd only just really broken free of the guy who I was running with. And I was trying not to look back. So I was looking for anything that was going to take my mind off what I was trying to do.
So it was the two idiots on the beach took your mind off that.
This is going to take us to, in this section, Andrew couldn't be here and he wanted to be here and he wants to be in these guest shows, but it's trying to figure out, as you said, our lifestyles and trying to hook up three people at once. It's a nightmare. But Andrew has a question for you.
Andrew asks a question.
What will it be?
Andrew asks a question.
Just wait and see.
Andrew asks a question.
A mystery key. Unlocking the answers with some curiosity.
Nick, I am sorry I can't be in the studio with you guys recording, as Colin has maybe already informed you, today is a podcast rest day for me and I take them very, very seriously. So unfortunately, I can't be there with you, but I do have a question for you. You have ran a few 100 mile races, and as you know, me and Colin have signed up, well, I haven't signed up yet, but hope to sign up soon, to a 100 mile race. And you know, in these long events, when you're running, there's those places along the way, I forget the name of them, the food markets, the free food market places that the people set up where you can go, and there's sweets there, and there's fruitcake there, there's water, there's juice, there's gels, and all that good stuff. And here on the Idiots Go Running podcast, we take food very seriously when we're out running, with jelly, with pan of chocolates, with a latte along the way. You see, when we're running this race in June, there's not a scenario where I can't picture me at about after 15 hours wanting a McDonald's. I think I will be craving for a McDonald's. And when you are out running that distance, when it comes to about 15 hours, 16 hours in, do you crave a McDonald's? Do you want a McDonald's? Have you ever had a McDonald's? And then kind of a follow-up question is, how do you get a McDonald's? Are you even allowed to get a McDonald's? Like, say my wife picks me up at McDonald's. Is she allowed to come drive in the car beside me, or find me in the middle of nowhere or something? Is she able to give me a McDonald's? Is this allowed? Is it not allowed? Like, I'm not precious of what kind of McDonald's I want. I'd even take a Happy Meal. A Happy Meal would be very good, because with a Happy Meal, as you well know, you get a toy. And after my Happy Meal, after my burger, after my chips, after my drink, I'd get a toy. That would probably keep me entertained for another half hour easy during this run. So to recap, when you're out running, do you ever feel like a McDonald's? If you have you ever got it? And then, do you think that it's allowed in these races to get someone swing by and to give you a McDonald's during the run? Looking forward to the answer. Thank you very much.
Okay, Nick, apologies about that question. That is Idiot A, or Andrew, as we call him.
Well, Andrew, thanks for your question. I think that there's some important points that you've raised there. Can you order a McDonald's or get one delivered to you? Joking apart, you might be breaking the rules. Some races will not allow outside help. So if you're caught with a McDonald's and there's not McDonald's provided at one of the recognised aid stations, you might be disqualified. So I'd be cautious about that. However, if the race rules allow outside help, yeah, you could get a McDonald's. Do I crave a McDonald's after 15 or 16 hours? Not a McDonald's, but definitely salty foods. And actually, Colin and I were chatting just beforehand about what to put in drop bags. And I said to him, you'll be sick of sweet stuff. You'll be sick of fruitcake. You'll be sick of, I don't know, those crazy sweet caramel things, potentially.
And jelly, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we'll get onto jelly in a minute. So McDonald's might be a good option. But yeah, in all seriousness, like, in 15 or 16 hours, your body knows what you want. And it's saying to me, I want salt, I want fat, I want protein, maybe a bit of carb. So I go sausage rolls, mini chicken Kievs. No good for you, Colin, maybe on plant-based stuff, but things like that, weird stuff. So, and if you pack your drop bag as, you know, you think, I know what I'm going to need, I'm going to get it dialed in, you probably get it totally wrong, because your body will think, I want something else. But talking about stuff getting delivered, that does put me in mind of probably the first book I read, and most ultra runners I know, Dean Karnazes, and he wrote a book called Ultra Marathon Man, and it's a little bit about his kind of entry into the ultra world and 100 mile racing, and particularly Western states. But there's a very famous bit in there where he would just like run all night, and he used to order himself pizzas and get them delivered on his runs. So so that book is a bit of a sort of has legendary status in the ultra world. Have you read it?
No, I actually even haven't heard of the book, haven't read the book. I love audiobooks, Nick, but it's worth a listen to. And he's a legend because of pizza. So you're thinking if Andrew releases a book, when Andrew becomes an ultra runner, he could get some legendary status in delivering McDonald's?
Yeah, he might have to win some stuff.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Dean's obviously won stuff.
He was quite good back in the day. But no, joking apart, like I reckon if you can get yourself a McDonald's delivered and win, you're going to go straight to the top of ultra marathon legend status.
I think Andrew's just hoping to finish.
Maybe get the Happy Meal and keep the toy to prove it and have it on the podium.
Do you know what? That is, see, at the end of an ultra, is the podium sitting there free for anyone just to get up and take a snapshot? Tell me it is, because that would be nice if Andrew... Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's not really policed. It's not something that... You finished 100 miles, they're not going to say, get off that podium, you don't deserve it, no.
Well, the UTMB might have a bit of an issue with you getting up on stage, but like most of the time, ultras are a bit more low-key, so... Yeah,
he won't be dragged off with his Happy Meal toy.
No, although if he does, don't blame me.
With the disclaimer, Andrew, disclaimer. So, Nick... That I mentioned about books. What do you listen to? Like, I would listen to audiobooks. So I'm currently listening to the 5 a.m. Club, getting up in the morning, and the benefits of getting up an hour before everybody else in the world is woken. What books would you listen to about running, or your favorite book?
Yeah, I love a good audiobook, love a good podcast. At the minute, I am listening to things, maybe a bit like you, stuff like Atomic Habits and that kind of thing. Yeah. So I'm really into that. Kind of more like looking at the rest of my life. I don't actually listen to running podcasts, and I don't really listen to running books. I maybe read running books actually rather than listen to them, but I try and keep my audio books to separate parts of my life, and also trying to read or listen to things that will help me be just a healthier human being. And I think that plays a big part in running performance, or you know, triathlon, or whatever it is you want to get into. But no, I'm a big fan of the audiobooks. I think it's good to listen to other stuff though. Over Christmas I listened to A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. I just thought, I've listened to too much serious stuff, let's just you know, get into a bit more.
Who read it the audiobook?
Who was it? It was an American narrator.
Oh, was he good?
I actually quite liked him, but if you read the reviews, a lot of people moaned, said, how can you have a story about Victorian Britain read by an American? But it kind of worked.
So I would listen to the audiobooks, and I would have a lot of running books. And there was one I came across, and I can't remember, and I bought it off Audible, I think it was, and started listening to it. And so a few people said, the guy's voice is a bit boring, but that makes or breaks an audiobook for me. This guy was... The sound quality was bad. His voice was just so monotone. So, like, you would, as you say, you would fall asleep to it.
Yeah.
And that makes the audiobook. And I, one of the audiobooks I always go back to, and was read by Stephen Fry. And see Stephen Fry reading a book. Absolutely incredible, Nick. Love it. It was the Harry Potter. Sorry, not to sound like a big kid. It was the Harry Potter.
I think you're right. The narrator can definitely make a big difference. And I will, you know, handily, most of those apps will allow you to have a listen before you buy, won't they? So I definitely have skipped over a few because of that. But out of interest, Colin, I kind of got from one of your pods that you listen to music. And in fact, I think maybe during the Causeway Coast Ultra, you had music on the whole time, which ran your phone down, schoolboy era. So do you run with music a lot or train with music?
I do. And I've recently bought Shox, you know, the ones SHOKZ or something. And they're bone conducting ones, because what I always say is nothing slows down a run than getting hit by a car. So you can hear everyone going past you, or us going past other people. Another dig at you, Nick, but I'm only joking. But I do listen to music, and we actually have an Idiot School Running playlist that me and Andrew listen to. So it's 70s music. There's nothing in it that you might think that's a bit weird. Although it was on once quite loud, and I don't know how it got added, but Nicki Minaj came on, and I was running past people, and I had to skip that song. It was, you know, the Starships one. Yeah, it's a wee bit embarrassing whenever you have the music on, pumping, full blast, and you run past people and Nicki Minaj's Starships is on.
Were you singing?
In my head. Nick, do you listen to music?
Do you know, I don't. I think it's a bit strange.
Not like it.
I don't train with anything, not podcasts, not music, nothing. I don't know. People say, what do you think about? And I struggle to answer that question as well. I think it depends how fast I'm going. If I'm just on an easy run, I will often just problem solve in my head, mull over things, you know, ideas. When I'm going fast, I don't know. It's focusing on putting one foot in front of the other. And
I did not listen to anything for a while because I used to have Apple AirPods and they don't do very well in the rain. So this is why I got the bone conductor ones. But that was about a year I went through not listening to music while I was running. Pretty much because I didn't have anything to stick in my ears and listen to. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't miss it. And I went through a stage of going, it actually interrupts your run and interrupts your tempo. So when you listen to a slower song, you slow down. Obviously, you don't listen to music, but that's what I found. And I was running without music and it didn't bother me. But then I put the music back on and then I got back into the habit.
Yeah.
So do you know what? I don't mind. If I didn't have my headphones with me, it wouldn't be make or break. I wouldn't go out for a run and go, oh no, I've got no headphones. You would just go out for a run. It doesn't really bother me that much, but my mind goes to strange places. I think I said in one of my episodes of the podcast before that I seen a cow in a field going, how can people eat these cows? They're amazing. They're big. They're friendly. They come over to you in a field. You stroke their head and then next thing they're on your plate. It just, my mind goes to weird places, Nick.
That's what, I mean, running does that to a person. Yeah. You'll find that when you do your 100, I'm sure you're gonna find this at some point, you'll start hallucinating or, you know, there'll be some sort of weird voice in your head saying something, like you will go to weird places. I remember there's one point going into the second night of one of my Lakeland 100 races, I started seeing snowy owls by the side of the path, and my brain was turning every rock into some kind of owl, you know, going back to Harry Potter reference there, but your brain plays some weird tricks on you, and tiredness, you know, fatigue, low energy, I don't know, your hormones are going haywire.
Yeah.
And you have to be prepared for that. I think unless you start pushing yourself, and in terms of your training, and you know, for these really long things, you need to start doing odd things. I would say, like getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning and going out for a run, and just seeing how your body copes with it,
and getting used to that. So that's because you're taking all my questions here. And I guess this isn't fair. At the end of this show, I'm going to be asking you for your tips, and you're throwing them at me through this episode. But you started hallucinating. I watched a YouTube video on the Barclays.
Yeah.
Where the guy disappeared off, they couldn't find him, and they found him chatting to a bin.
Yeah.
But the aisles is the weirdest thing you've ever done. Now, he got brought back in a police car, and I believe he didn't finish that race, but he came back the next year and went again.
Yeah.
Another bit of a legend. Didn't get pizza delivered, but he got caught talking to a bin. But yeah, so you do hallucinate.
I think you're so knackered, you're not thinking straight is what I would... Actually, your focus becomes quite narrow.
Yeah.
Especially at night, because your world almost narrows down to a little dot that your head torch is picking up, and your peripherals go, and you go into a bit of a strange place.
And were you by yourself?
Yeah, I was at that point. Yeah, I mean, sometimes in hundreds, it's quite nice if you've got somebody with you. You keep each other going. That particular the owls incident, I was by myself. So, and actually, maybe I wouldn't have been hallucinating if I was talking to somebody else. But there we go. So you have to be prepared for long stretches, you know, hours of boredom. I often think that one of the reasons that I'm quite good at running is because I have a really high level of tolerance for just boredom, and I don't need something. Maybe that's why I can deal without the music. I don't need something to distract me. I can just plod on. I'd run around a car park if that was the only thing that was available. You know,
I've heard stories of people when they've been training have run up and down steps in like an airport and stuff, and this is what they do.
Yeah, you maybe got that from one of my Instagram posts.
Was that you? Oh my goodness. I didn't even mean that. That was you. You were at the airport and you run up and down steps.
That was the whole air traffic control computer system went down across the whole UK, and we were in Luton Airport for like 5 hours, no way of knowing. And I just was like, I can't sit on this chair for 5 hours. So I started walking up and down the airport, just to get some steps in almost and just to relieve boredom. And then I found this sort of abandoned section. And I was like, I'll just do some intervals on these steps. And I just ran up and down it.
And that was you?
Yeah.
Oh, flip, I'm a wee bit embarrassed now saying that. But no, that's absolutely class. Because I was listening to another audiobook. And I really see it'll be your Instagram page again. But no, it's how this guy got into running. And he used to be on a cruise ship. His name's Zach. Is there a famous ultra runner called Zach something?
Yeah, and I think he had the 100-mile record at one point.
But he took off. He used to take off ahead of people, then burn out, and then take off. But he was this legend because he just ran so fast and took off so fast. Yeah. And people were going, what are you doing? And he just gave it everything, 100% the whole way. But he started by, he was on cruise ships. And when they docked up, he was obviously working on them. When they docked up, he picked a high point and ran to that and back before the cruise ship would leave. And while everyone was in the bar in the evening drinking, he was on the steps as well. He was on the old the back room steps where the staff went up and down, and he used to go up and down them all the time. So there's no excuse really to not run or to not find time. I think the only excuse is that the ones that stop you are the ones you actually believe.
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot in that. You know, I find that just running is something that is almost, you could classify me as being addicted to it, I guess, but I think it maybe is my release and escape from a lot of things. You know, people have all sorts of hobbies, and, you know, whether it's painting, whether it's dancing, I don't know, but I find that running is my headspace. And if I'm somewhere stressful, like an airport, not knowing when I am going to get out of there, I just have to go and do something, and running just distracts me. So that's what I find, it does really help my mental state in a lot of ways. So that's why I said, I joke, you know, if I was stuck somewhere and there was only a car park to run around, I'd go and run around the car park. And it wouldn't be, you know, it's just the act of running, I think, that is important to me. We could probably talk for a week about running.
That's the thing about running. I'm in work and I hear someone even mention marathon running, and I'm up from a desk, even with the headphones on, I can still sense them talking about running. And I'll just leisurely dander over and lean on the table beside them and then just introduce myself into that conversation. Doesn't matter where I am, it's just me, and then I'll start talking to them. And usually I'm the one who's run the furthest in these conversations. Because you don't find many people like yourself, Nick, who's done hundreds, who's done this. And you're a running coach as well, yes?
Yeah, I do some coaching for people, whether that be, you know, catch to 5K stuff or up to ultras. Something I've been doing for quite a while in quite a low-key way, but the last few months I've actually turned it into, you know, more of a formal business, I guess. And I do write plans for people, and I do some one-to-one coaching and things like that. Just, I guess, you know, if you've got a knowledge base, there's people that want to learn from you. And I guess my thing as well is that I look at people's lives and work out, well, okay, how much time have they got? When can they run? Yeah. What can they do? And try and just make it fit around, you know,
their lifestyle.
Yeah, their lifestyle, really. You know, coming from somebody with two kids and a full-time job, I know how difficult it is to get those sessions in. So I try and maximize people's sessions to make sure they're getting the most out of it. Yeah.
That would be my dream. I love running so much. And it's for me, as you said, the mental health side of it. It makes a difference to my life. You're inspiring people, you're helping people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm of a similar mindset to you. I would say if there was a way of, you know, at least making part of your life funded by something you really, really love, then that's gonna help you down the line. My job is very, very full time and quite, you know, it's quite emotionally draining, my job, and I feel it does take a lot out of me. Whereas when I'm doing my running coaching, I just almost get into that, what some people might call the flow state. You know, you almost get really sucked into it, and you're building somebody's plan, and you're like trying to get into their life. And, you know, I love that side of things. And
you're helping people.
Yeah, you're just helping people and seeing people's results. And, you know, people are posting, I've got this PB, and, you know, it's excellent. I just love that stuff. That's what really motivates me to carry on that side of the coaching. You know, it's just, as you say, if you do find something that you love and make a living from it, well, you know, amazing. But running is difficult to do that with, I would say.
Especially ultra running at my level. You don't win many things. All you can do is get people on a podcast and people come and people say yes. Give us three key bits of advice that Andrew can listen to get him through the 100-mile race and myself.
Right, three bits of advice. So that's put me on the spot slightly to distill it down into three. I would say mentally be prepared for the fact that your race isn't going to start until about mile 80. Let's go for mile 80, because really you need to be ticking through 50 miles, no bother. So if you think, right, I'm going to get to mile 80, then I've got less than a marathon to go. And then you can start.
You can start counting down the miles.
Start counting down the miles. It's never over till it's over would be, maybe be my second tip. Don't get complacent and think I'm there. I can let the nutrition go. I can let the hydration go. Don't take your eye off the ball until you're over that line. And the third tip, I would say, that's a tough one. Break it down into sections. I think, I know I've just said, you know, your race doesn't start till mile 80, but you know, there's a lot, you need to do a lot before you get to that point. So just say, right, I'm going to get through 10 miles and then I'm going to do this. Going to get through another 10 miles, I'm going to feed. Going to get through another 10 miles. Break it down into small chunks, whatever that is. And what you'll probably find is that by the time you get towards those last 20 miles, you're breaking it down to 1 mile sections or lampposts even. I have been at points in a race where I'm saying, we're going to get to that lamppost, and then I'm going to walk to the next lamppost, and I'm going to run to the next lamppost. And your chunks become smaller and smaller. So break it down into chunks and be prepared to adjust how, you know, how far, whether it's in time or distance, those chunks are really.
I see, knowing Andrew, he's going to break it down from mile one into lampposts. So it's going to be a lot of lampposts, a lot of trees, a lot of rocks. But you know what? I have no doubt that we will get there in 100 mile. I said, it's not about time and maybe it's not about pushing ourselves. But Nick, this has been an absolute pleasure getting you on the show, and I'm sure you'll come on again. Hopefully, if you enjoyed it, if you want to come on again, if I don't see you again, we'll know why.
Absolutely. No, loved it. Yeah, loved it. I'll definitely come back. And, you know, if you've got any more questions or some Andrew specials, then fire away. One thing I would just say is that I know Andrew is a massive fan of the jelly, and I have provided some, what should we call it, sports jelly, especially for him. So it's something that I particularly like, and I'm going to plug a little product here. It's SIS Beta Fuel, and it's probably expensive jelly in a handy packet is probably what I'd put it at. But
well, you did actually, you brought it out of your pocket, two pieces, and you handed me one, and I thought, wow, this stuff looks good. Sorry, I'll just explain the stuff for Andrew. So yes, it is SIS Beta Fuel, 45 grams carbohydrate. Is this like a refined version of Andrew's jelly?
Yeah, I think somebody's taken Andrew's idea, distilled it down, put it into a packet, and bumped the price up.
Or the other option is Andrew just hasn't come across it yet, and he doesn't know it exists. And now that he knows it exists, he's now in that area of real athlete. Lemon, what flavors does it come in? That's what Andrew will want to know.
I don't know. I'll have to look that up and let you know next time.
Happy days. And we will get you on the show maybe every other week, because Andrew might need a stash. He might need a dealer of this new Beta Fuel. Where do you get it from?
I think I actually ordered that straight from SIS, but you can order it online. It's easy enough to get hold of.
And how much we're talking for one block of this stuff?
I think they're probably £2.50 a shot. You know?
That's an increase in jelly. I think you can get Hartley's jelly for a pound.
Well, maybe there's a gap in the market there.
Maybe there's a halfway house. Can you melt it down and drink it?
Let me know.
Oh, Andrew will try. Now you've got two. One's drinkable, one's maybe not. So, Nick, as I said, thank you so, so much for coming on. And I suppose, if people's looking to reach out, as you said, you're a running coach, you can write specific programs for busy families. How do people reach out and find you?
Yeah, probably the best way is maybe just through Instagram. So my coaching company is called Running, but You take out all the vowels, so it's RNNNG, and my Instagram handle is running_NickWeston, so RNNNG_NickWeston, or you can just email me nick@running.co.uk, or go to the website, which is www.running.co.uk.
Absolutely perfect, Nick. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. See you soon.